On the modeling, you talk about distance. Would you group them as sprints and routes or
no, by distance? Unless you find that there's no significant distance at your track, which you won't, especially because if you're going to play Canada, especially because you won't have any problem. You only have two distances for most of the year. You have to do it. 6 and 6.5 are dramatically different. And 7 is dramatically different from either one of them. So you can't, and 1 1/8 and 1 mile are like two different worlds.
How many do you recommend before you start using it?
Start right away. Play the best horse, and then get a mono. I know too many people say, well, I got to keep records about 1.5 years before I'm getting the first bet. My God, he'd be so old by the time he... And that's folly. You don't say, well, I can't go opening day because I don't know what they're happening. That's when you make your most money. The best two horses, and then worry about your model. Modeling is overrated. Really. If you recognize who the best horses are. There are certain... I mean, if you get a distorted model, if you think that early's going to win, and you go to some track where sustained wins, and then you're in trouble. But you've got... All you have to do is look at the damn monitor for a couple of races, and you've got a better model, and you have the... Just... What you see is what you get. Look at 11 races like I did, straight races. Just sit there and watch. See who's in the lead in the first fraction. Write their numbers down, see where they are at the end. And when you find out it in 10 of 11 races, none of them that were in the lead or in the top four early finished the race in the top four, you get a hint that those horses aren't winning. It's as simple as that. The best teacher in handicapping is doing it. And that's really that's someone says, well, how do you guys learn how to do this? By doing it. Vic Palermo, we were talking about the hardships of Marion Jones. Hey, partner. Vic Palermo was a young boy in Italy, in Sicily. He wanted to go straight and be honest. And the mafia kept beating him up, and he had to take a boat to the United States, and he came to the United States, and he practiced law, and he practiced all sorts of things. Bigamy, among others. And then he decided he didn't like all this stuff, the law and the chicanery that went on. He didn't like it, so he decided to become a professional handicapper. And he came and moved here to Las Vegas so he could pursue it full time. And I like to have Vic come up because he was so recently sitting out where you were. It's only been 1 year or so. Seems like even less than that. He was a beginner. And his big transformation in life came when he wanted to come up to the office and work with me for 1 week. And he thought I was going to help him become a handicapper and teach him. I didn't teach him a damn thing. What I did was, well, I'll let Vic tell you.
Hard is way to fantasy, Calvin. The only part of Italy I've seen is in the Italian Riviera. By France for about 1 hour one time, just because I was nearby. I wanted to be able to say I went to Italy since my family came from there. But that's a good story anyway. It's about 5 years ago that I first came to Perco, and I came to Las Vegas in the fall of 1988. So I guess that's 5 years now. And it was very overwhelming, but I had a lot of preconceived ideas about what I was going to do and wasn't going to do. So I've been a fairly successful engineer and an attorney, my own business. And you think, well, that applies to somebody else, not to me, but I'll listen to this and do part of that. When it's all over with, I can tell you right now, the things that Doc tells you to do are what you gotta do. And things didn't change for me until I started doing what I gotta do. You'll do the pluses and no's, and you'll do them and do them and do them until you get tired of them, and all of a sudden you start looking at it and say, why do I have to do these? Because I know that horse doesn't belong. And you'll be right. When you do it and you miss it and the horse wins a race, you don't know enough yet to not do it. But many of these procedures are rather odious to perform, but they become part of you. It becomes just like when you walk. You don't say, I'm going to pick up my right foot, now my left foot, because I want to get over there. You do it instinctively. And you're going to do this enough times that it becomes instinct. You start to do these things without even knowing you're doing them, and you eliminate horses, you pick horses, you put them in the computer, you make selections from your printouts, it becomes instinct. And when your instinct's right and you get enough winners, you're going there. And you always rework every race you lose. If there's any one thing that I did, of all the work that I did, was when I started reworking my races, go back and find out what did I do wrong. You'll find the horse that won and you look for a pace line. Can you put him in there? Sometimes you can't find a line. You can't put him in there. He just doesn't fit. Well, don't fight it. If it doesn't stick out where your mistake was, forget it and go on and do something else. But you'll be surprised how many times a horse wins a race and you go back and you say, oh, darn it, I missed that. If I'd have done that, I'd have had him. And you do that enough times, you don't miss him. You get him in the beginning. The only way you know what you're missing is to go back and rework them. I still rework races when I lose them, even though I'm running about somewhere between 65-68% running average. I had a little period here where I was up around 80%, but that didn't last too long. Even at any time, you just rework them. Now, Doc said, I was really uptight about what I needed to know and thinking as an engineer procedurally what I had to do in order to be able to master handicapping the races. And I did go to see him for help, and instead of him helping me, he had me start to answer letters for people that had problems to help him out with this pile of mail. And it turned out that I knew a little more than I thought I did. We were able to help some people out pretty good, and I guess one of the guys I wrote a letter to has been in the winning column ever since, from what I understand. The thing is that there's so much here that it's like I said before, it's overwhelming, but you've got to go through it and do it again and again. The next thing you got to concentrate on is you got to know what track you're playing. And when I say know the track, I mean you've got to know that track well. You've got to study everything that happens. Record all your readings. Find out what the winner does. When you win a race, underline the winner. Look at your printouts. And I started by copying everything. And pretty soon I found out at this particular track, and I play Louisiana quite a bit, because I like the money. The prices are higher there, and so I'm going to put my effort in this. I'm going to go where I can get the most money. And I began to find out that some of this data that I was recording wasn't necessary because it didn't tell me anything. Louisiana Downs is an early track, very fast. The E's are important. The 00 MUVs are important. The 00 EMUV is important. The E's on entropy to the left are important. The number to the right in entropy is not that important at Louisiana Downs. It can be 22. If he's got a 1 on the left, he's a real contender. He may be the winner. Because that's the way the track is. And even when it rains, Louisiana Downs is a fast track. And so when you got front runners, they can wire that place. Now, when the fairgrounds opens up, I've been following these new tracks, it's a little bit below sea level. It's going to be sustained. And the sustained horses are going to be winning. But you've got to know your track and know what it does. And if you don't know the track, you'll put all this stuff in the computer, you'll get your printouts, and you won't know what they mean. I'm getting to the point where many, many times I don't even bother to bet two horses. I can look at it and say, well, there's just so damn many ones and zeros here. This is a single bet. And you make more money that way than you do betting two horses. I moved here to Las Vegas about a year and a half ago with the idea that I could just play where I wanted to play. And of course, I've ended up with Louisiana. The run with Louisiana Downs is from May until the 21st. Tomorrow, Sunday, is the last day. And then the fairgrounds opens up after Thanksgiving, and it runs until a couple of weeks before Louisiana Downs opens again. So I got a good long run with two tracks that I know pretty well, and then you have some pretty good prices. There are times when you got to know to stay home. I remember Marion Jones talking about this, and it made me sick to think of not going to the track. And he said sometimes he looks at it, he doesn't go. Well, believe me, I spent enough money finding out that you don't go some days. If it's raining cats and dogs and things are all messed up, you're kidding yourself unless you can handle rainy tracks. When you find there's situations you can't handle, stay home, give yourself a rest. Don't fight it. So you gotta think about what you're doing with this. Otherwise, and it can't be like a machine where you turn the crank and you get this out here. It doesn't work that way. You can't do it every day. Now, I'm not that seasoned a handicapper to say that others can't do a lot more than what I do, and they probably do, but for me right now, I've just learned what my limits are, and I stay within those limits. The worst thing that can happen to you when you're preparing to play the horses is to get uptight. And I've got a routine where I don't let myself get uptight. I take my racing form and I analyze it. I don't do anything but analyze. I just leave it alone. When I'm through analyzing it and writing, making my marks, picking my pace signs, what I'm going to do, I'll put the form down and go watch TV for a half hour. Then I'll pick it up again and start loading it into the computer. And all I got to think about is I'm loading it in the computer, putting it all in there. I'm not thinking about another thing. When I get them all loaded in the computer, then I can go to bed and get up in the morning, and now everything's done. All I got to do is pull them up and start playing with the races. Pull this up and look at it, the seat along, run this back and forth, up and down, get it where I want it, then print it out, take a rest, pick up the papers a little while later, start analyzing my printouts, looking at it. You think about it while you're doing it, but you keep yourself very relaxed. If you're uptight, your brain doesn't work as good as when you're relaxed. So I found out, as long as I'm very relaxed, I do a lot better. And there's so much data here that you can get very uptight with it. Does anybody have any questions that I want to ask?
Do you use a checklist?
I don't use a checklist as a pilot would use in the cockpit, but I have a checklist type in my mind, the things that I look at. I have a pretty good record up to then, but he's pretty dead. Something's happened to him. So, I'll check that. I'll look at it. I'll look at the conditions of the race. First thing I do is read what the conditions are. And I look through the horses and see, does he belong in this race? Does he fit these conditions? Yeah. There are little things that I go through first before I even bother with it. Some of these things will tell you just to throw the horse out. Anyone else?
Programming.
I use thermation and entropy, both together. And I don't... some people get the idea that they're going to get one of these programs and use it and crank it through it. It's going to just give you absolutes, and then you move it to the other one, you got absolutes, and you got a winner. It doesn't work that way. It gives you a broad spectrum picture, and you've got to learn what that picture means at your track. When you play like Del Mar with entropy, you can pretty well look at the lowest of the rankings in entropy. If you do that at Louisiana Downs, you throw out the winner about 90% of the time. So, each track is different. So what you have to do when you're playing a particular track until you get that track under your belt real well is copy a lot of data. Take it out of here and put it on paper and look at it. Look at 20 races. When Louisiana Downs opened up this year, I went to last year's races, and I ran about 30 days of races, ran through the computer again, and it analyzed them before I even started to play the first race when the track opened. I've got last year's fairground races out now, and before fairgrounds opens, I'm going to run through at least a week or two of races samples through there to get a feel again, even though I've been playing with it, to understand the track before. Otherwise, you can't interpret your readings. You don't know what they mean. There's a lot of work involved in it. But it's better to do the work than throw the money down the tube. There's nothing worse than buying a ticket you can't cash. This is very heartbreaking. Anybody? Spencer, we got this thing ready to work?
In a moment.
Don't work.
Yes, we got it. We're going to have it.
Don't blow it. Keep it.
Don't get up tight.
We'll do it tomorrow.
Don't get up tight.
I got it fixed.
Good.
save it for lunch.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, I just didn't want you to...
No, I ran out of gas up here, just now I'm all over, I don't know what you wanted me to say.
Well, he did very, very well. The most important point he made was the fact that he learned more about how to win by helping others. And that's the secret. And that fellow, J.R. Tine in Florida, he wrote that letter to me. He just wrote me another greetings from Florida. I'm tired of a different person. You know, he changed his losing ways, but you turned him into a positive guy. He used to be one of the most negative kind of guys. He didn't have any energy. His letters were lethargic, and now he's on top of the world. One of the more inspiring people we'll close with here, because I don't want to keep you up too late, especially don't want to keep me up too late. But none of you should be up, because we want you sharp as heck tomorrow, because Spencer's got his machine working, and we're going to be using it a lot. Don't break it in the meantime. Glad you got it fixed. Marion Jones, one of our wisest sages, he has learned to mix a very acute sense of how to win stochastic events with the humanism that is unique to him. Marion used to dye his hair dark, and he looked very, very young. He used to wear these flashy suits and everything. And he looked about very young, and he had the audacity to come up to me one day and say, "Howard, you're just like a father to me." And then his wife told me his real age. And to be his father, I would have had to have been potent at the age of 2.5 months. Here's my if we can't be father and son, we'll just be brothers. So you take it. Give him that little inspiration you're always doing.
First thing you want to do, since there's so many beginners here tonight, I'm going to talk primarily to beginners. First thing you want to do, make up your mind about this methodology. What do you want to do with it? What do you want out of it? Once you do that, then you're on the road to figure out what you're going to have to do and how much time it's going to take you to do it. Now, some people like to be what we call recreational players. And they go to the track on Saturday and sometimes on Sunday, and they bet the races. And that's about the limit of it. They go on special days and they bet races, and that's what they want to do. Others are really get involved in it, and they want to go regular. Some of them want to go to make money. Some want to go because the wives run them out of the house. You know, you got them kinds too, you know. Get out of here. I don't want you hanging around here. I want to clean up. You're in my way. You got those kind of guys too. But if you want to go to make money, then you get into a different category. You put yourself in a real, under a lot of pressure in a lot of senses, because you're going to have a whole lot of work to do and a lot of thinking you're going to have to be doing. And that's what this methodology is all about. See, this methodology is about thinking. A lot of people think it's about computerized programs. Well, these computerized programs came about after Howard had figured out you had to do a lot of thinking about this thing to make any money at it. Then he developed the program. Because when we started out with this methodology, most of us were speed handicappers. Some of us had been involved a little bit in pace handicapping. And Howard had came up with velocity, and we were using velocity. We started using velocity figures, and we found out we didn't have computers. We had to do it the hard way. We had calculators. Can you imagine putting all this stuff through a calculator and writing it down? You know? So it didn't take me long to figure out. I'd been betting horses for a while. I'd been in the business. I'd been to seminars, and I'd been studying books for a long time. I studied horse racing a long time before I started betting money on it. I was kind of like Spencer. I wanted to learn a lot about it before I got myself so deeply involved. And Spencer's one of those individuals. He spent a lot of time learning about it. He knows a hell of a lot about it because he spent the time studying. And that's the way I started. I started out studying because I wanted to know what it was all about. I wasn't going to just jump in there and say, "Well, I can do this." I had been taught from my very youth, early years of my life, that you learn by other people, experiences, by books and bulletins. And that's what I started out to do. That's the way I got involved in it. And when I learned about Howard, then it was another step for me that I took. But I learned at that particular time that if I was going to bet the races, I wouldn't have time to, we were using velocity at the time, to compute all those figures and then go to the racetrack and do a lot of races prior to going. And I would have to work all that evening before and the next morning. And sometimes we would play New York, and you live in San Diego and you're going across the border, and you know, the first race is very early. And unless your race is about the fourth or fifth race, you had to be down there about 10 o'clock in the morning and get started. So I learned that I had to make some adjustments. What races should I play? You know, I had to eliminate some of these races. Now, how will I go about eliminating these races when the methodology itself lends itself to all kinds of races? So the first thing that came to my mind was to get rid of all the horses except the four-year-olds and up. And that would give me an average of about three races a day to do, and then the way I could do them, and I'd go down to Mexico and make the bet. And I would stay for one of the races, maybe. I wouldn't, if they were scattered way apart, I didn't stay, I just made the bets and left. That was in order to have more time, some time for myself, because this horse racing thing can get to be something that takes a tremendous amount of your time. Even with the computerized programs we have today, you'll find yourself not getting a chance to look at any TV shows, not getting a chance to maybe take your wife out to dinner or something like that, because of the fact that you have all this work to do. You know, when you pick up the racing form and you start working on it, and you find there's a tremendous workload confronting you, and then you got to wait and get the scratches, and then you got to go from there in order to be able to go to the track the next day to make money. So now, if you're going to bet these races, if you're going to go to the track regular, you have to consider that, well, I don't want to. I'm not going to try to bet nine races every time I go to the track. I'm going to have set up some system for myself. Maybe I like to play $10,000 claimers or whatever run at your track, or maybe I like to pay $25,000 claimers and have a little bit more time to do it and have a little time left for myself. Now, how many races do you need to make some money? You know, a lot of people call me up and they said, well, since you're right there and you're right at the Mexican border, why don't you go down and play all those tracks? They got them down there. You can play New York, Philadelphia, and all that. Well, I don't need all those tracks to make some money. All those tracks don't need me either. Because that's a lot of work you're talking about. See, you don't need one race to make some money. Actually, you need one race. One good race, one race that you handicapped real well, and you went down and put some money on it. I'm not talking about $2. I'm talking about going down and put some money on the horse. You figure out this is a winner, you go put some money on it. You can go home. You like two races, three races, whatever the case might be. But I limit the number of bets I make on most days, and that way it gives me more time to myself. For the first time in the last 4 years, I bet nine races the day after the classics were wrong, and I won eight of them. But it was just, that hadn't happened in years. I used to do it rather frequently. But horse racing keeps changing. It keeps changing, and you have to be ready for these changes, and you have to be able to see these things. Like Vic was talking, he's telling you're going to have to be able, it's like walking, you're going to have to not say, well, I'm going to raise my right leg and then my left leg. You're going to have to just do it. And when it changes, you've got to be able to see it so that you'll be able to continue to make money at it. Otherwise, you'll see a drop back in the amount of winners you're having and the amount of money you're making. See, winners don't always develop money. You got to have winners to make some money, but not always. You don't make a lot of money by having winners. If you're betting a lot of horses paying $3.80 and $4.20, well, you're not going to make much money because you're going to have some losers too. So you got to look at it and say, well, this is what is best for me. And then you work at it from that point of view. That's what I do. During the Santa Anita meet, I decided it was best that I look at the $40,000 claimers and up. I did that not because of the fact I can win $10,000. I don't care what kind of horse it is. $1,500 claimer don't make me no difference. I have bet those too in Tijuana and at Cadillac Racetrack. Don't make no difference. But I decided that because I noticed for $40,000 and up, they had about three races a day. So I was averaging about 2.5 races a day, and I had some time left for my family and myself. I like some time for myself too, you know. So these are the kind of things you have to consider. And you're going to have to face up to it. There's a tremendous amount of work, and you have to do the work if you're going to make some money. Now, if you're a recreation player, you don't worry so much about it, because you go out on Saturday, you do maybe 5 or 6 races, maybe 7 races, and you go out on Saturday, and if you win, fine. You know? If you break even, great. You know, it's great. You got tomorrow if you're going out on Sunday, and you'll either win or lose on Sunday. But a lot of times, on one of those days, you'll have a tremendous day of winning, and the next day it might not be so good, but anyway, you come out feeling, smelling like a rose, because you want enough money to take your family out for dinner, maybe go down and buy yourself something special for yourself. And I used to do that a lot, too. I'd buy myself a suit or a pair of shoes or something. And, you know, just by playing recreational, the recreational style of playing. But all of it requires that you have a lot of discipline. You must discipline yourself. If you're a person that's got to go out there every day, regardless, you want to be out there, you're going to defeat your purpose. You've got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
They seen you some, Ken.
You got to know all those kind of things. You got to know. You got to know what day to go out there and what day to stay at home. And that breaks a lot of people's heart in this business. They really get heartbroken. I went to the race, went to the place where I picked up the racing form yesterday, and I picked up the form. And this guy, because I buy the form from him all the time, he allows me to look at the form. And I can just take the racing form and I just look through from one race to the next and see if this form is worth buying. You know, they want $3.10 for that thing. So if it's not worth buying, and he says, "You're not getting the form today?" I said, "Nope, just give me $3 worth of those lottery tickets." You know, I says, "I don't need no form today. This form is terrible." You know. And I can look at it, and that's the way you have to get. You have to get so you can pick up that form, and you can look at the races and say, "This race, I don't want to be involved in it. Uh-oh, this one is for me here." I went out opening day at Hollywood Park, and I bet most of the races. And I kept, the first race, I got a $7 horse. I kept waiting to get a real, what I call a real good one, some $12, $13, $14, $15. And I kind of played slow. I just kind of played slow. And it comes to the eighth race, I got a 35-to-1 shot in there. And then the favorite. And so I said, "Well, I bet the 35-to-1 shot to win in place. And I bet the favorite, put him in the exacto with the favorite. I'll buy a $10 exacto box." And because this horse had tremendous turn time, he's going to make his move at the top of the stretch, and he's going to be running good down in the stretch, just on the turf. And he did exactly like I figured. He got the lead down in the stretch, had about a 2-length lead, and I thought he was going to stay for at least second, but he finished third. The favorite won. But that's all right. You know, I played, that was the eighth race. I played the ninth race. I had a 4-to-1 shot, paid $10.20. That was my big winner for the day. He paid $10.20. They didn't pay anything much all day at Hollywood Park that day. But that was just one of those. I wanted to be there because it was opening day, and I wanted to see how the track was running to get a real feel for it, because Santa Anita had really been good to me. I'd really had a successful a game at Santa Anita. I wasn't out there every day. I was out there on the days that I saw that something looked right to me, and I was getting all kind of prices, big prices. So that is what you got to do. Now, if you want to, you don't stop to think that the methodology is complicated. There's nothing complicated about it. Not a thing. Really, there's nothing complicated about the methodology. If you can read the racing form, you can handle the methodology. Now, if you can't read the racing form, you better get that sheet out of there that they've got in the racing form that teaches how to read it and learn how to read it. You got to learn how to figure pace with your eyes, too, not just by putting it in the computer. You got to be able to look at a horse and see when he runs, comes from off the pace, or runs near the pace, pressing the pace, and a horse that runs on the pace most of the time. You got to learn how to look at that and see it yourself. You got to learn how to look at a race, and you see there's one early horse in there and one late presser. When you learn how to do that, you're really on your way. A lot of times I've seen it where there's one horse in there. There's just one horse in there actually can win this race because nobody's going to get close to him all the way around the track. And I don't even bother to put that in the computer. because it's a two-horse race. And the other horse is just off the pace, and he makes his big move in the stretch. That's it. Cut and dry. But these are the kind of things you have to learn to be able to look at and see with your own eyes and with your own feelings. You have to get yourself into the methodology and into the race that you're looking at and see what the horses are going to be doing in that particular race with your own feelings and your own emotions, your own points of view, and your own eyesight. You won't waste so much time if you learn to do that. It's easy. It's simple. You learn. It's simple. And if you, when you're using the computer, and you start in on the horse's pace line in, and you begin to see something, you want to remember that. You see that this horse is so many lengths behind, and he's in the fourth position and so many lengths behind, and all those kind of things. And right away you begin to sense that this horse can't win this race. So as you learn how to do that and enter it in the computer, you'll also learn how to do it just by looking at it. You just look at it. And then so how many horses do you have to go in the computer? Maybe three, four sometime. You got a cheap race, claimer, maiden claimers. I play those too. Maiden claimers. I had one last week, paid $84. But I play those too because I look to see, what did he do different that he hasn't been doing? That's the way I get him. He hasn't been running early, but he ran early last time out. Tells me something. The trainers found out something about him. If he's running early in his last race, I look at him, and I look at all the rest of them that they've been, and then I go and put them in the computer program. And the program says, hey, this horse that's that tired today is gonna, he's got a bad third fraction. This horse that ran earlier last time will still be at the pace. He's 42-1. Go make your bet. That's where it goes. You got any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marion.
You're welcome.
Okay, let me give you the schedule, what we're going to do starting tomorrow. We'll go over certain things for the whole group, so they'll be caught up with you. And then we have a manual to hand out to you, which is replete with races. Marion has two in there, and I have several. Jimmy Bradshaw has them, and Tom Rohammer has them, Dick Palermo has them. Everybody has racing. We even have one from Sam Wada, who tells me I have to do it for him because he refuses to speak at seminars. Each one of these races, the progenitor of it, will go over it from the very beginning of how that person handicaps that race. Spencer's going to have did they provide us with what we asked for? A wireless mic?
Yes.
Okay, Spencer will have a wireless mic and he'll be in the audience. And when you want to interrupt one of these persons going over the race, of which you'll have in the manual, he'll be going over it. You ask him any question you want on the microphone. Those questions where you can't hear the question, you only hear the answer, make for very interesting listening on a tape. You know, well, the way I do that is, what did he say? You know, what was the question? Great answer, but what the hell was the question? But you'll be able to hear the question. You'll be able to get your answers succinctly and quickly. Go over these races from step one to the conclusion of how each of these individuals do it. Because none of us do it exactly the same. Because that's the way it is. We're all individuals. We don't want to make you into automatons. As long as you get the same result, which is the winner, and hopefully the place horse. We'll do that with your participation. If something goes, if you don't like what you hear, call Spencer over, voice your questions or your objections on the microphone until everybody understands exactly the process that these people go through in winning those races. That'll be a lot of fun. Then we will demonstrate the updates of the Romation Club. We'll demonstrate the various programs, the various advances, and show them on the giant screen here. Now Spencer's got it fixed. So it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be intense work because we'll go all day tomorrow, break for dinner, go tomorrow night, then we'll come back Sunday and work until whenever, and then we'll have a different room on Sunday, and you'll all be able to go out and in the book, and you'll be able to mix with the various teachers and go over any questions you might have about a given race, and they'll help you in any way possible. And they'll ask you questions. Like, you say, who do you like? And they'll say to you, well, who do you like? And you'll find that when you tell me who you like, I'll say, well, I'll go bet your choice. It makes you feel real good when one of these guys says, that's who I think's going to win too. Let's go bet it together. So you'll have a full day of Sunday of both instruction and the cooperation of all the teachers to help you make your betting decisions. If you think you need them, you might be so good by Sunday afternoon, you won't want any help. Let's see how it works out. Thank you very much. Let's get some sleep tonight and be ready for a hard day's work tomorrow. 9 o'clock in the morning.